Waco here, your friendly neighborhood witch. Now, I know what you're thinking, but you're safe here. It's okay to not be okay, and self-love is always going to be the best love. Self-care is going to be the best care. Now, join me as we let out some steam, become a little less stress and more carefree. Come join me over our weekend detox, and let's detox together, because we always want to protect our energy.
Hey guys, what's good? How are you doing? This is Lady Reiku, your friendly neighborhood witch. Welcome again to my Sunday detox. If you guys are not familiarized with who I am, today I'm a bridge troll because I didn't feel like putting on makeup because mom is in the middle of packing all her makeup and goodies because I'm going to be gone for a month. We'll talk about that at the end of the show, but we're not going to talk about it now. So, if you guys were here for last podcast, which was, remind me of the date, because I am so lost with everything going on right now.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago today.
On the 10th.
On the 10th. Today is the 24th. So you can tell I have no clue on what days that we are at and what is the concept of time and space and continuum. Auntie Hugh, how are you guys doing? How was your last 2 weeks? Are you guys staying hydrated? Are you guys taking care of yourself, treating yourself, treat yourself? The reason I ask is because it's been a very hard 2 weeks, and we are going to be diving back into victim mentalities. Now, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and let you guys know that I am very proud of the three people who have reached out to me that said that they have noticed these particular traits and signs in other people, and that they were happy that I actually talked about it, and I'm very happy that they reached out to me. Now, I wasn't saying the subject to kind of, you know, point out anybody in particular or to do anything or that nature. I just really wanted people to be aware of how common this very toxic trait is. And if you guys are not familiarized on what the actual definition of victim mentality is, basically victim mentality is, I had something written down. For once, I'm actually somewhat organized, guys. Because if you guys know me, I'm very chaotic and disorder. Like, I'm an organized mess, if you guys didn't know. Basically, the best way to describe it is people who have victim mentality are usually people who suffer trauma or hard times on more than one occasion, but haven't developed a proper way of coping. So instead of trying to change their bad habits or get out of a situation or anything, they just kind of stay in this constant cycle of trauma and hard times over and over and over again because they don't think anything is their fault. They feel like this is just the elements against them, other people against them, job circumstances, whatever the case may be. They have little to no sense of responsibility for their lives, and they kind of feed off of, you know, feeling, getting that attention they're getting from being a victim, because these are people that we would basically look at and they will constantly come to us about the same, oh my God, I'm still with XYZ because, you know, I really want to do better. I can't get away from, you know, John Doe or Dewan down the street, and he keeps cheating on me, and yet they keep going back to that person. I had to make up a name. I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't give anybody's names because I almost instantly want to think of somebody who I actually had this conversation with, and she's actually realized her bad habits, and she said it was okay for me to mention her. But one of my friends did mention that she watched the actual live and she realized that she has a victim mentality when it comes to certain relationships, which is a very adult thing that most of us don't really realize, that when we constantly stay in same relationships that are very toxic or very negatively impact, but then we go and vent to our friends about it, but our friends are like, why do you even bother to vent? And all you're going to do is take them back. Unfortunately, that is a form of a victim mentality, and you may not realize it. A lot of times when people sit here and complain about the same dead-end job, and they're like, no matter what I do, nothing seems to go right, blah, 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 blah. Certain times when you are in these constant state of cycles, you're not getting yourself out of, which is okay if you don't have the means or the ability to. What puts a lot of people back into that victim mentality is the fact of it being, if your friends are offering you help or offering you a solution to get out of that situation and you're not taking the help and you're just rather to constantly go through that cycle, that is having victim mentality. Some people thrive off of it. Some people just can't get out of it. Now, for those who are actual victims in like abusive relationships and you are afraid to leave your situation due to the fear of being, you know, harmed, that is a whole different level of victim mentality, victim situations. Those are legitimate victims. Those are people who in the course needing help. Those are the people who actually need help and they have no way out because they're fearful for their lives. That is something that is completely different than what I am talking about when I say victim mentality. Victim mentality, again, you have the means to get out, you just don't have the will to get out. There is a difference. Okay, so what I always tell people to do, there is a different slew of ways of addressing victim mentality. So guys, I'm going to let you know that we are going to be very, 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 very ongoing with the subject just today. It may be a very short podcast, but a lot of background stuff is going to happen towards the end of this actual podcast. So a lot of the information that I'm going to be giving you is the healing portion, because last time we discussed the actual victim mentality, this week we're going to actually discuss the standpoint of a person who is not the victim, but the person who is dealing with the person with the victim mentality, and you're tired of dealing with it and you want to help them. Now, it's going to be certain ways you're going to have to handle this. You're going to have to handle it with kid gloves, because again, some of these people thrive off of this. You may lose these people as friends, but at the same time, this is for educational purposes for just not you, but for them as well, because at this point in time, you also have to be able to take care of yourself and you can't take care of them for the rest of your lives. A lot of people don't realize that when you have victim mentality, you're not aware that the things that you're saying is actually affecting those that you go seek help from, and you're not taking their advice. So this is why I want to discuss it a little bit in different levels and different phases to go ahead and discuss how to help that person if they are a victim or if they have victim mentality. And then I'm going to also talk to those who have victim mentality to see, like, you're tired of these cycles yourself and you want to better yourself. Now, again, these are for those one in like 1,000 people who actually do not want to be a victim anymore and have victim mentality. But most of the people who have victim mentality is narcissist. So unfortunately, there's nothing you can really do about those people. These people will never see the signs. They'll be like, oh, that's not me. But then go and complain to their friends like a week later. There's nothing you can really do about it. You can't help nobody who doesn't want to help themselves or see the problem in themselves. So as I, like I sat here and said that, you know, as a person who deals with somebody who has a victim mentality, the first thing is you want to go ahead and see the signs. Again, just as a refresher, as a recap, you know, you're going to have that one friend that's constantly saying, oh, woe is me. The world is against me. I hate this job. I want to do better. But then you give them the means to get out of their job and you give them the means to get into a better relationship. You take them and go take them on blind dates, or you hook them up with somebody who will be, you know, better for them. Or you tell them, hey, you need to take time for yourself. Stop jumping from relationship to relationship. Or, you know, oh, I hate my job because they don't want to give me things. It's not fun. They have no, you know, no room for improvement. They have no way for me to actually develop and be better at what I'm doing. And then they're constantly complaining like, oh, I applied for this promotion and I didn't get it. Doesn't matter because the world is against me. And they have a very pessimistic life. Now, there's not to be confused with somebody who has depression or, you know, like any kind of disorder, but this is just somebody who is just constantly going and going and going and complaining because they like the attention that it gives. Because they don't care where they're getting the attention or why they're getting the attention. They just want the attention. These people are just constantly, they never seem like they have good news to give you. So it just always seems like bad things always happen. Other people or circumstances are to blame. So they never want to blame themselves for things that are going on in their lives. They were late to work because they overslept. Oh, my alarm didn't go off. Why didn't your alarm go off? Because my boyfriend didn't set it. Or something. They have an excuse for other people. Or, you know, the reason why I didn't eat today was because the job wouldn't let me go off because I had to stay on the phones. Or this caller. You still have to take time for yourself. I always tell people, self-care is the best care. Self-love is the best love. And if you need to take time for yourself, take time for yourself. So, people who don't understand, it's like they make no effort to change their situation, but they're constantly complaining about the same situation. And at some point in time, you start picking up, especially if there's somebody who's your friend, you're going to pick up when they're constantly saying the same thing over and over again. Like for me, I know my biggest thing that I complain about is I have a problem of attracting emotionally unavailable men. But I will sit here and I don't fall for them easily. But at the same time, like when I do start falling for them and I'm just like, why do I keep putting myself in this predicament? That's a me thing. That's not them. It's just, it's something in myself. When you attract certain things, you have to figure out like, why is it the way that it is? So for me, I don't go to complain to nobody like, why do I keep attracting these emotionally unavailable men? Because most of the men that I actually attract are men that, you know, are damaged and stuff. And because of the fact of being, I give them the world and the moon and the sun to give them things that I think that they deserve, because men deserve, you know, praise and they deserve the XYZ, but these men don't want that from me. They want it from other people or whatever the case may be, and they're hurt or damaged. And this is why I made my podcast, is to help other people. So technically, back to what I was saying, away from my own self, we're going to keep going, is it is one of those people. And the thing is, a lot of people in marriage don't realize that your spouse or your partner may have victim mentality, especially in a lot of the younger generations. When it comes down, one person in the relationship could be avoiding responsibilities. One person could be avoiding certain different things when it comes down to financial situations, or they just don't want to take responsibility for anything or accountability for anything. One thing that we don't do as adults, especially millennials, we don't take accountability when we mess up. When we fuck up, that's just the best way to put it. And the thing is, it's like we blame everyone else. One thing that I realize is this, and I'm going to use this as an example. If it sounds like a scenario for you or a situation for you, then maybe I might be talking to you. This might be for somebody who might be hearing this later down the line on Sunday or watching this live now. When you're dating somebody in a relationship and they sit here and, for instance, they're cheating on you, you find your partner cheating, they blame you for cheating. It's a guilt trip, basically. They were like, I wouldn't have cheated if you would have given me more sex, or I wouldn't have cheated if you given me more attention. Now, in some particular cases, that is to blame. If you are sitting here and you're not giving your partner no attention, people can lose interest. It is very scientifically proven. And even in my psychology class, I have physically seen and heard the stories, and I've witnessed it myself in my own marriage. When you stop giving your partner attention, when you stop being attentive, or when you start growing yourself, your partner may not like you anymore. But when you sit here and you cast that blame back on your partner versus anything, then they're not taking accountability, that they're not making an effort. Now, in that particular case, if the partner is making an effort and the other partner is not making an effort, then at that point they are a victim, not having victim mentality. So we have to understand the difference. But victim mentality is, again, in this situation, if the person is cheating and then they blame you for their cheating, oh, you weren't giving me enough attention, or you were not giving me enough sex, or you weren't giving me head, or you weren't doing XYZ. Turn around and blame you, but then y'all are having sex, or because of work being too much, or the person's not being understanding that, you know, you are an adult and you have things going on, and that you haven't addressed it or had open communication, you are no longer a victim at that point. That's just it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can't blame a person if other outside sources are the blame for that and you never brought it up to your partner. Okay. And then reacting to most life hurdles is basically saying it's not my fault. My biggest thing that I've realized in the dating community for me is I have a lot of guys in my life, or a lot of guys I have talked to in my life, that has said that the only reason why my relationship never worked wasn't because of me, or it wasn't because of lack of anything I ever did. Unless you have the receipts, there's nothing you can really say, because unfortunately we live in a generation of toxic people. So it's one of those things where you have to kind of be diligent. You kind of have to pay attention. And I hate that I do it, but I kind of, because of how my mind works and how I've gone through life and the things that I've witnessed in life, I kind of analyze everybody. And that's the reason why me being going to be a psychology major is kind of a big thing for me, because I already do it as it is. I question everything, and I look at everybody on a different level. But then you can kind of tell when a person's being a victim, and then when you are somebody who's genuine and you're actually going through a hardship and you really want the help. And unfortunately, being a healer, we want to heal everybody. So if a person just sits here and says that it's not my fault, I don't know what I can do. I didn't do nothing. When somebody says that somebody hit you, you sit here and ask, what did they do? And again, I told people I'm not here to be people's friends, but this is what I have to ask when a female comes to me and say, they pushed me or they did XYZ, and I look at them and say, what did you do? In some particular cases, you have to end up provoking. A lot of people do not want to risk going to jail. But then there's a lot of females out here who takes pride in beating other females' asses and grown men's asses. And at the end of the day, that's y'all life. Y'all prerogative, first and foremost. If you make me mad enough that I want to put my hands on you, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to go to a different location. My ex will actually tell you, when I found out some shit that was going on in our relationship, I packed up my bags and left. I told him, please get out of my face. I don't want to talk about it. I got real calm. And everybody was just like, oh, you're dangerous. I'm like, no, I don't want to go to jail. Nobody's worth going to jail for at all. And then I've had people just straight up tell me, oh, you just ain't have no toxic sex. I'm like, first and foremost, if that's what toxic sex makes you do, I don't want it. Because I don't feel like anybody should feel like they should be outside somebody's mama's house 3 days later crying and then looking at you like, why are you being weird? And I'd be like, why are you being weird to me? I'm not doing all that. Because then you get yourself in a cycle. And I've told you guys before that I've witnessed abusive relationships and stuff like that. So I know the difference between an abusive relationship and then somebody who is just in a relationship they don't want to get out of. And that's bad. Now, a lot of person is a person who's just constantly feel like, oh, I don't want to put anything forward. Again, it is very hard to determine whether or not is a genuine person or depression, if a person's being a victim or they're having depression. If a person is sitting here complaining about a dead-end job and not wanting to do anything or applying for their dream job, that could be anxiety, that could be depression. But if a person is complaining about a job and not putting the effort forward, that is, again, victim mentality. And then they go back to complaining after the job has been filled because they never bothered to do anything. Never seeking possible solutions or possibly getting any solutions. I tell people it's not about, there's a lot of solutions out there. There's a lot of open doors out there. And if a person wants to stay in the situation that it is because they rather get the attention and they thrive on the attention. I used to hang out with a girl, and me and her are not friends anymore. I mean, at some point in time, she might run across one of these dang podcasts, or she might run across one of my pages, and she'll be like, oh, well, I didn't know you were talking about me. I mean, it could be anybody. In particular cases, when it comes down to that, she felt helpless in the situation she was in. She's had multiple opportunities thrown at her, and she just didn't want to take the opportunities. And it wasn't like she was depressed or anything. She was very open book. And again, I tell people a lot of times that depression isn't just somebody sitting in a corner crying, this, that, and the other. This is a person who had a lot going for her. She purposely sabotaged herself because she thrived on the attention it gave her. She was basically, and she wasn't considered popular in high school, like super, super popular, but she was known a little bit. And then what ended up being the case was she was already very pretty, so people loved her because she was pretty. And then as soon as we graduated, that popularity flare disappeared. So she no longer had those people basically adoring her or chasing after her because of her looks, people telling her no now. She wasn't, like I said, the popular girl, but she was in that category and she hung around me because I made her look good. And then when that started to fade and she realized she had to start working for things in her life, then she realized that she was getting the attention that she was craving from being a victim. Those are those things that I'm talking about where you're used to those attention that you will change the narrative to get that kind of mentality. We see it a lot in Hollywood with certain people. Honestly, I could tell you like this. I hated the second season of this show, but Why Women Kill. And the main character in the second season, she basically wanted the glamour, the glory of having the attention that she used the fact that she killed a lot of people to get there as her way of getting attention. And it's not necessarily a victim mentality, but this is what I mean by people want attention so badly that they don't care how they get it. And that's kind of the same thing with people with victim mentality, where they go through these situations, get that attention for one time. They're sitting here boohoo crying at their friend's house because somebody cheated on them. And they realize that their friend, every single time that they get cheated on, will go take them out to go eat and go get some ice cream or go take them to the club. And then they can use that sob story to get in bed with somebody else. And then they realize that that's the attention that they want. They're filling a hole, they're filling a gap, and they're not getting that same sensation as if they were doing something well. They feel like this is easier than to fix myself, so I'm going to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And sometimes we pick up on it and sometimes we don't want to voice it, but as a person who's on the outside of that person, you have the time to put your foot down. Like, hey, I don't want to give you advice. Just sometimes we get into this whole stagnant like cycle with these people where we sit down and we just listen to their sob story and then we go through it. And the thing is, it's more common with that one person who always has money. It's that one person who's always in a bad relationship and they don't want to leave that person. They'll leave, break up just to make up and come back. And it's a continuous cycle. And it gets to the point where some people don't realize that it's actually very damaging when you do that. And I sit here and I always tell people, like, it is a very damaging thing. You can damage friendships that way. You can damage relationships with people that you're in relationships with. I tell people my background not to be a victim. I don't tell you guys my stories and tell y'all what I've gone through for you to pity me or feel sorry for me or anything. I tell you guys my story so you know where I come from. And that's something I say I'm going to say in my poetry because this, you guys get the surface level of me here. But the poetry book I'm going to be releasing is going to be a little bit deeper and a little bit more in depth. So what I tell you guys and when I pour these things out, it's not for you guys to think that I'm a victim. Some people do like to tell their stories so other people can be helped, which that's a difference. When I tell my story, I want you guys to hear it so you can know where I came from and why that I am the way that I am. Why I still believe in love despite all the things that I've gone through. Why even when I go into another relationship, I don't treat them like I treated my last. I don't go into a relationship thinking, oh, this person's going to cheat on me because it's not fair to them. But when you're a victim, you go into the next relationship already prepared for this person to hurt you. And you go to your friends or your family and like, they're cheating on me. I just know they're cheating on me. Like, you're instantly there because you're in a constant state of cycle where you're thinking everyone's going to do you wrong. And sometimes even if it's giving you attention, you're putting yourself in a cycle that you can't get out of yourself. So you're not only affecting those who are around you and the things that you are, the people that you're with and the people that you're around and you're giving this information to. Like, I'm one of those people, I don't like asking for money. I go through a lot of shit and I don't like asking people for nothing because I know what it's like to be that person on the other side, listen to somebody with victim mentality and how that affects. And I'm one of those people like, oh my God, I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to do this. That's me. This is a legit trauma of mine where I don't like asking for things. I actually don't voice my opinion or my emotions a lot. So for me to tell people my emotions, that's a strong thing for me. And that's, again, from my trauma. And that's from a constant cycle of abuse and dealing with something spiritually and mentally and emotionally abusive. But these people are purposely putting themselves in those situations. I don't want to be in those situations. I don't put myself in them. It just so happens to happen, and I try to find a way to be out of them. I will seek help from people to get out of them and purposely take their advice. Because I have been a legitimate victim, not have victim mentality. A lot of people, when you approach these people, and as a person who listens to these people with victim mentalities, you have to be very careful when you're ready to go to them and talk to them and try to give them help. Because you have to be very careful. Because these people, they can lash back out to you with frustration, anger, resentment, those strong emotion words, those strong emotions when you try to tell them, hey, maybe we might need to seek some help because this is something that's been going on for years. You've been in this same traumatic, trauma, toxic relationship, and they're not wanting to back away. Like, they have the means to get away from this relationship, but they stay in the relationship, doing damage to themselves. Not realizing you stay in those relationships, not only when you finally do find somebody that's good for you, you don't want them. And that's honestly what happens with a lot of men. They stay in these relationships with these women. And again, I told you guys, victim mentality, mainly majority of the statistics have proven that is women who have this mentality. And they will do everything in their power to stay in these relationships. And these type of people do affect men and unfortunately make men emotionally unavailable, because then they, when you constantly go through these cycles of back to back to back to back to back cycles of breaking up and making up, when you finally get away from her, now you don't want to be with any other female that is good to you because you're used to that cycle. You are now suffering trauma, which, you know, hey, it is what it is. And that seems to be all I seem to attract. I attract other people's damaged, you know, guys. And I hate to say damaged goods because you guys are not goods. You guys are kings. You guys just don't know it yet. And you don't know how to properly heal. And when I come in and I want to, you know, talk to you, or when any female wants to talk to you that's actually good for you, you don't know how to handle it because you're on pins and needles. You're thinking you're back in that same cycle because you have trauma. But you may have even went to that person at one point. As a guy who dated a female with victim mentality, you may have went to her and she came back at you with frustration, anger, resentment, crying like, you just don't love me. Is that what you're trying to tell me? And I know that probably triggered some dudes. I instantly kind of felt like I was probably triggering to somebody. Oh, you only cheated on me because you never really loved me. That's manipulation. That is still a form of victim mentality. So I'm going to talk to my fellas real quick before I talk to my females who deal with, you know, that female friend and stuff. Fellas, when you're in a relationship with your girl and you're doing everything right, and unfortunately she's already got the victim mentality already down pat, she has not found a proper way of coping or anything else like that. And I'm going to talk to my guys too, who has had some trauma and had to deal with some stuff. But if you ever date a female with victim mentality and she sits here and yells at you talking about, oh, you don't really spend enough time with me, you don't care about me, you only care about my boys, and she uses that feminine energy, that softness, that submissiveness, that, you know, the everything as a woman that you guys look at us as, oh, I need to protect her, I need to guard her, that feminine energy, and she uses that vulnerability to sit here and make you want to stay, and she plays it out as a victim. She's going to keep doing it because it worked. The moment you cave in and you're just like, you know what, I don't need to stay, I don't need to go out with boys, it's all right, it's cool, it's whatever, you've been suckered in, and she's going to use it every single time. She may not use those exact words every single time, but she's going to continue down that same cycle because she knows it works, versus trying to change up the formula. And then when it finally does not work, that's when she will finally change the formula, but it's still going to be a form of victim mentality. Now, it's a form of manipulation. It's a form of psychology. Unfortunately, I hate that it works. I always sit here and I can use my parents as an example. My stepmom lets my dad go to the strip club, or he goes out. He can go hang out with his friends. Why? Because at the end of the day, they live together, one. Two, they have no insecurities, unlike how our generation does. If your partner wants to be with you, they're going to be with you. You should not force anyone to want to be with you or want to be around you. But then at the same time, too much of a good thing is a bad thing. So being away from each other to make your heart grow fonder is actually very healthy. But some women are so selfish in their own way that they realize playing the victim can keep their partner under them all the time. If a man really wants to be with you, then he's going to be with you. Women as well. If a woman wants to be with you, she is going to be with you. You do not have to sit here and tell her anything to want to stay next to you. And as a person who is a human being, you have to understand that they're going to need their space, that they are their own individual person. Y'all are two people coming together to become one. And at the end of the day, y'all are still two individual people at the end of the day. But if she uses that tactic, that manipulation tactic, to keep you at home and you never get to see your friends, never get to go anywhere, that is a form of abuse, and it is to them. They have taken whatever trauma and whatever hard times they have and used it against you. And it worked. And I love my gentlemen. I love my fellas. I love my ladies who date females. I love my non-binaries who date people who have victim mentality. But honey, if you have somebody and you notice that they're doing that for your own sanity before you become traumatized and have PTSD from this relationship, you need to talk to this person. And how you can talk to them is, hey, you know what? I want to go out tonight. Maybe me and you can go out with my friends. Try to get them out of that space. Try to better them. Because when you're in a relationship, somebody, that person, whoever you're supposed to be with, is meant to make you better. They're not meant to hold you down. They're not trying to constrict you. They're not trying to hold you. And this goes back to that whole conversation I had about 2 years ago about wanting to create a universe with somebody and me starting to date at the time that I was, at the age that I'm at now, even now, that I can't go into somebody else's universe or already built temple and be like, look, your temple's nice and stuff, and start tearing things down and talk about, all right, now we need to rebuild it with revolving around me. Any guy I date at this point is going to have a child or, you know, have a family. I do not feel I should be the center of their universe, because first and foremost, as a woman, that would be the most selfish thing. Because when you get into a relationship and you have the intent to marry or have kids with this person, your universe is going to be your children, your career, your livelihood. It should not be built off that one person. That person may not even stay in your life your entire life. Especially with millennials, we don't have a lifespan. We don't have a longevity in relationships. If we happen to make it past 7 years, you know, knock on wood to y'all. Kudos. Awesome. I've had friendships longer than some of my relationships, and I'm all right with that. But my next relationship, oh, we for lifers, baby. That's it. And we building an empire together, you know? But, I mean, you gonna build yours, I'm gonna build mine, and we gonna come together, and we gonna have our own thing. We gonna have our two separate universes, and then sometimes we travel into each other's and, you know, make something together, because that's what it is. It takes two to build. But when it comes down to everything, you have to know and understand a person is not going to sit here and pull you away from what's important and what's good for you. They're going to build you up. They're going to sit here and they're going to want you to go out and have friends and want you to survive and want you to do good things. Because if you are having a career that is going to involve you doing and interacting with other people, because your partner can't be with you all the time. I hear some women and stuff, and I see some stuff on TikTok where they're like, if I could be with him all day, I could be. And again, social media promotes this kind of behavior, especially the victim mentality. And it's so depressing seeing some of these trends that are going on TikTok and seeing some of the things that I'm seeing on social media. It's because that's not reality. That may be reality for y'all, but somebody's really looking at this and eating that situation up and like, I need to be like that. Oh, they want to be, they rather, you know, manipulate their partner to stay here and this, that, and the other. And it's not the lifestyle we want to live. So when you see this in your relationship and you see your partner's doing it and you see the trend, or you just don't care, but you start finding yourself resenting that person, because not only if you bring it up to them, they're going to start resenting and then you're going to shut down and just let them keep doing it. You got to take in consideration that's doing damage to you too. And that's why I want to talk about this, because the thing is, it affects everyone in these situations, not just like personal relationships with boyfriends, girlfriends, but friends. So if you're in this relationship and this person is using victim mentality, like their vulnerability, their sense, their you know, their selves, to make you have resentment for them because they are using that to keep you around or to keep you in this constant cycle of miserable and misery, you have to time to take some glove hands and, you know, look at it, because it can make you very, very depressed. It can make you upset. You can have, like I said, you can have frustration, you can have resentment, you can have anger, because your partner is not bringing anything good to you. As I tell people all the time, I'm looking for a home, and that's what you're supposed to be looking for in a relationship. But if you don't feel like that in a relationship, if a person has to use victim mentality to keep you around, then you should not be in that relationship. It's not healthy at all. And unfortunately, until we can address these issues and talk about these issues, it's not gonna do any good. So as a fella, as a lady, as somebody who's non-binary, when you are approaching your partner and you want to stay with this person, again, this is if you want to stay with this person, you sit down and you say, you know what? Hey, I'm thinking I want to do another stage in my life, and I would like to go to counsel, and I want you to come with me. And, or hey, I want to better our lives, but I want guidance because I've never dealt with this relationship. And not to say it in a negative light, it's definitely about the wording and the phrasing on how you're going to do this. Like, hey, I think I want to take the next level with you. And you have to be legitimate about this. Sometimes you can just easily sit down and be like, hey, you know, I feel like we can do a lot better in our relationship. Our relationship is amazing, but I don't want it to plateau. I don't want it to be in like 2 years and we start manifesting better stuff and this, that, and the other. I want to seek some counsel, you know, just to kind of see how we can make this relationship better. And then, you know, also, a lot of people don't realize a lot of this stuff can also stem from codependency. So if this person, if you suggested to this person, like, hey, I want to go seek counsel, I want you to come with me, because if I'm going to get better, I want you to get better with me. Let's do this as a couple. I don't want to get better and then leave you behind. Sometimes that will help get that in there. A lot of the times that could be one of those things that could help. Now, another thing is that when you're dealing with somebody who has themselves or sees themselves as a victim, they are going to refuse everything. They're like, I'm not the problem, you're the problem, blah, blah, blah. Whatever the case may be, they're going to blame everybody else for their wrong. They're going to blame their job. They're going to blame this. They're going to blame all that and the other. You can sit here and say, hey, you know, I've given you advice on this situation, and it seems like it's not getting any better, and I want to see you at your best version of you. And you gotta be sincere about this, because you really want these people to help. Again, advising them to seek counsel. Somebody who's, you know, unbiased. Non-biased. I'm saying the word wrong today. Non-biased. So that maybe, you know, they can be a little bit better, to give them a different perspective, a different point of view of the situation. Because when you sit here and you give advice to somebody, and this is not just for like boyfriend, girlfriends, this is also for friends, family members. When you talk to somebody who constantly put themselves in the victim mentality, they're not going to stop thinking of themselves as a victim, and they are okay with you thinking that, because they feel comfortable talking to you because they know they're going to get the results that they want out of it, versus going to somebody who doesn't have any emotional attachment. Because again, with somebody who has an emotional attachment, who is biased, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to look at your situation, and I'm going to have my emotions involved, and logic and emotions are going to collide with each other. So as a person who's your friend, I'm going to be like, oh my God, I want to help you. Oh my God. But then the logical part of me is like, you know what? I can't really help you. You need to help yourself in this situation. So having somebody who's non-biased in the situation or the equation can definitely help them seek a better life. And then if you are in the relationship with this person, you're like, hey, you know, at some point we're not going to be, you know, this age anymore. We're not going to be 30. I'm going to get older. I'm going to get wiser. And if we're constantly in this cycle and we're in this together, then we're going to be there. But then you got to be very careful again. these people will have this mindset where you're going to be like, oh, well, you're just going to leave me like everyone else. And then you could be like, well, I'm not trying to leave you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, especially if you're in a relationship with somebody. Most people get into relationships and they agree to be in relationships because they do see potential to make it everlasting with that person. Or you could just be one of those people in a relationship because you're forced into a relationship, or because, you know, at that time they're giving you this whole veil, or the, you know, the 6 months, I'm going to put on a front for you for 6 months. I don't do that. I tell people straight up, this is my laundry list of problems. Here's my baggage. We grown. What are we doing? So, I think that's the reason why I'm, you know, single as all get out right now. It's all right. That plus I also avoid, I get, you know, the emotionally unavailable people. So that too. But again, these people are going to take no responsibility in their life. They're going to feel like nothing they do will make them better, and they don't want to take the advice. And you don't want to, don't label them as a victim. I want to stress this a lot. A lot of people who have victim mentality don't like being called victims, and they will never say that they're a victim. So labeling them as a victim would be a classic no-no, versus like if you're a friend, if you're a family member, if you're a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. If you see them being a victim, do not call them a victim. They will instantly either shut down on you, or they will lash back out at you talking about, is that what you think of me? No, please don't. Don't do that to yourself. I'm telling you, out of like safety and concern for you, don't call them a victim. Do not label them as a victim. You kind of want to handle it. Again, it's going to be very tricky. It's going to be handling with kid gloves. Especially if you care about this person to a certain level. Some people just shut down and just walk away. Some people just shut down and just let this person continue on. But honestly, at the end of the day, if they're going to keep doing it to you and then you finally walk away, they're just going to turn around and do it to somebody else. So you kind of have to either be the one to stop the cycle for them, or you have to end up being the one, or you're going to be in that same mentality too, because a lot of people with victim mentality do create other people with victim mentality, just like manipulators tend to create other manipulators. When you finally get out of that manipulative relationship, now you're going to manipulate other people because you feel like that trauma is now learned inside your body. Same with like whatever you watch can influence who you are as a person. So you have to be very, 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 very careful. So you don't want to sit here and mention to them how you've noticed that they are always complaining, they're always shifting blame. You don't want to ever mention that they're not accepting responsibility. You never want to tell them, oh, well, you always talk about how you're feeling trapped and helpless and I'm giving you help. Don't ever do that either. Because if you do that, you're justifying them feeling like a victim. Because if you lash out at them and you snap at them, you're also justifying them being a victim. And then they will go to someone else and say, well, I went to them and I told them X, Y, Z, and this is what they said. They said I'm a victim, and now you've given them and fueled their fire. So again, you have to be very, 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 very hard. So what you need to do is anytime that they come up to you about something else and you already can hear that the situation is going to be another victim mentality situation where they're talking about the woe is me and everything else like that, it's possible that starting a conversation can give them a chance to express their feelings in a productive way, and it's about shifting the conversation. And it's going to be about setting some boundaries. It's going to be very hard. Now, a lot of people don't realize that once you set your boundaries, you have to kind of stick to your boundaries. So it's going to be a very big groundwork thing. So when a person sits here and they're starting on their whole thing, you're going to start with the, like, some of the, hey, you may feel constantly accused as if you're walking on eggshells when it comes down, just, or have to apologize for the situation where you feel like you're both responsible, because they sometimes will make you feel responsible, especially if, for example, if I'm sitting here and I'm dating someone and then I go to them feeling like I'm a victim to them, talking about, you never treat me right, blah, 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 you don't do nothing for me no more. If the person is legitimately not doing the same thing they're doing, you have to look at the outside factors. Are they still making the same amount of money? Do they have the time to do the things that they're doing anymore? This, that, and the other. If a person wants to be with you, again, they're going to want to be with you. So you have to be a little bit there. It's often tough to help or support somebody whose perspective seems to be different than the greater reality sometimes. So sometimes you have to kind of, I hate to say it, don't be like, oh, well, don't you see this roof over your head? Don't you see the food in the fridge? Don't do that either, because it's again about the tone and how you bring it there. Or, hey, do you remember I helped pay for your way to go on this girl's trip, like, as a friend? Don't do that. You have to... It's tough dealing with people with victim mentality or disorders. You have to handle it a different mindset than going into a regular conversations with your close friends who you don't have issues with or anything else like that. If when it comes down to supporting them, they may seem a little judgmental or accusatory towards you and others, and drawing boundaries can help. So what you want to kind of do is detach as much as you can from their negativity. When they sit here and they bring you the situation, or they come to you with the situation, I'm not saying detach in as in don't seem like you care, because some people's body language, some people's facial expressions automatically show that. But what you want to kind of do is you kind of want to eliminate your emotional aspect to it from it and walk away from that point. But then and hand back the responsibility to them. So you kind of don't want to sit here and take on the responsibility of their burden. You want to sit here and kind of give it back to them. And what you have to do, you can still have the compassion, still be caring for someone, even though you may take space from them from time to time. I tell people like this, it is okay to take your space for you, because you cannot help other people if you do not feel okay. And if somebody who has victim mentality or other kind of disorders drag you down or drain you, work, life situation, environmental issues, take time for yourself. It is okay to say no to somebody. It is okay to say, hey, unfortunately, I cannot help you at this time. I'm going through my own things. I will get back to you if you're still going through XYZ when I come back, then we can talk about it. Those are those things about setting those boundaries, walking into that situation, knowing that you're going to have some issues. Even when you're in a relationship and you are dealing with somebody who has victim mentality, and you are in a relationship living with that person, not living with that person, whatever the case is, if that person really wants to work things out, they are going to be very understanding. They're going to be like, oh, well, you don't want to talk to me because of, you know, you're too busy. That is a legit reason to understand why that person is there. Now, if they still consider themselves a victim at that point, there's nothing you can really, really do on that. Just say, hey, I have a lot going on right now. And if a person doesn't understand or respect that boundary, then unfortunately you kind of need to kind of reevaluate at that point. But you want to kind of set those boundaries for not only yourself, but for them, because they will use that victim mentality to manipulate you. Especially if you want to sit here and want to get them some, you know, legitimate help. Another big thing is when you start having these conversations with people who have victim mentalities, you want to kind of help find them solutions. And not only when you're finding them solutions, you want to help them find their own solution, not hand them the solution. So if the person is complaining about not having enough money all the time or not being able to pay rent, you kind of want to sit there and help them find the solution. Hey, you know, have you thought about possibly doing surveys? Have you thought about doing Uber Eats? They're hiring extra people, doing extra money. You kind of want to, you want to protect your loved ones from any situation. And a lot of people come to you with those mentalities because they know for a fact emotions will come into play, and they know that you're going to want to protect them. A lot of people who are like me, who are healers and naturally want to heal other people, we are literally, we are beacons for people with victim mentality. We are literally beacons for people who are toxic and leeches, because we naturally want to heal and help everyone. And with me, I have been in very bad relationships that a lot of people don't know about, that I don't talk about, that I've erased in the back of my mind like anybody else who has trauma to avoid. But I keep up with those like headspaces because I know what to look for if I see similar traits. I may not go to somebody and be like, oh my God, you're doing XYZ like this person did, but I look at it to learn and adapt and be better and just to go. So what you can do when you're helping them without fixing anything for them, because again, you want them to be self-sufficient. You don't want to sit here and be like, oh, I'm going to get you a job with me and then put in the application for them. No. You don't do that. You're going to sit down and you're actually going to have this talk. You're going to do it in a few simple steps which you can easily sit here and acknowledge their belief that they can't do anything about the situation. So you kind of want to agree with them. But then it is at the same time, you want to ask them, what would they do if they had the power to do something? Like, help them figure it out. Make them think on a different level of that situation. So, for example, I go up to my sister and be like, I fucking hate my job. I don't like you here no more. I don't want to be at my job no more. And then you can be like, well, customer service can suck. But if you can do anything right now, what would you do? Well, I will find another job if a job open up for it. I was like, have you looked to see if that job's possibly open? And helping them brainstorm possibilities of achieving that goal if they want to get away from that situation. Again, that same three steps is you can sit here and say, oh, I hate that I'm dating Thomas. Thomas and stuff keeps cheating on me. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's just going to keep cheating on me. And then he's going to sit here and give me these puppy dog eyes on why I need to stay with him. And I'm going to go right back to him. Sometimes they even acknowledge their own cycles. Not all the times, but some of the times, if you catch it, you catch it. And then they sit here and you be like, you know what? You're right. He is a piece of shit. I mean, what would you do if you can get away from him? Well, I would find me a better man. Or I would take time and, all XYZ and leave. And then sometimes they might give you an excuse, especially if it's somebody who has a baby daddy or a baby mama drama. They'll be like, well, I can't leave because that's my kids. I tell people like this. A child will suffer more in a very upsetting household. And I mean like where you're fighting with each other constantly versus a child in a split household. Well, I don't want to split because, I didn't grow up with a two-parent household. And you know what? Sometimes not growing up in a two-parent household is a lot better than growing up in a two-parent household. Because a lot of people who grow up in two-parent households still turn out to be serial killers. I'm just saying. And I mean, they had some great upbringings with a two-parent household. But then at those points, again, you acknowledge that their beliefs and their relationship and this person is very bad for them. And then you were like, what would you do if you had the power to do anything? Well, I would go ahead and date. Now, if they suggest something like I would fuck his best friend, don't egg that on. That's toxic. And if you do that as a friend, I'm going to need you to come sit next to me and we're going to have a deep-rooted discussion because we don't need to egg on toxicity. This is a toxic-free zone, okay? Thank you. And then you just help brainstorm. Like, if a person really wants to be in a better relationship, you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe we need to take some time. Me and you, we can go do some girl dates and we can go on the speed dating. We can, you can help them hook them up with somebody who might be actually good for them. Do you know how many females I done hooked up with some guys that have actually been better for them than other people that they've been? And my male friends. I've actually done it more for my male friends than my female friends because a lot of my male friends date really toxic females. A lot of them. Some of them are still in relationships I couldn't get them out of because they choose to stay there. And it's for good reason. There's a lot that go on with that. And at that point, I don't fight them. But a lot of my guy friends, I've gotten out of bad relationships because their females are toxic. And I'd be like, I found them better females to be with because I'm really good at matchmaking for other people. But again, we're not going to talk about me. I don't know what it is. Maybe that might be my other calling. And then, like, you might encourage this person depending on how you sit here and you share that information or how you deliver your communication can actually broaden and actually encourage them to get out of that situation. Or it can also do the negative effect and it can narrow their perspective on the situation and make them feel even more down about themselves in that particular case. Rather than giving direct advice or making specific suggestions or handing them some money, you kind of need to help them realize that they can actually have the tools to solve it themselves. So you're basically, in a way, using psychology to help guide them to be better. because they already don't have the right coping mechanisms. They found something that just works for them, and they're going to keep on using that. And this is something that, like I said, you're going to end up seeing is going to be very common, and you just kind of want to look at that. You offer encouragement and validation, but you got to be very careful on how you offer it. So when you're sitting here and giving them encouragement and validation, you're going to point out things that they're good at. You're going to tell them how beautiful they are, especially if it's a female in this situation and they're dating toxic people that they don't want to get out of relationships with. Reminding them of your affection, validating their feelings. But then at the same time, you do not want to hand feed them easy solution. You don't want to just give them money to get them out of your face. You don't want to do that. You don't want to just sit here. And in some particular cases, again, victim mentality, females going to their male friends who they want to have sex with will use their victim mentality to have sex with these guy friends, and they'll use it over and over again every time they have a bad incident to get over whatever they're feeling. That is handing them a very bad solution. That is not what you want to do, fellas and ladies, because guys do it too. It's not just females, but they will use their vulnerability or a situation they're in that is a victim mentality situation to get sexual favors out of you, because it's just easy. They know they can get it out. It is what it is. People who lack strong support networks and resources to help them deal with trauma may have a harder time getting over these feelings of victimization. So you always encourage your loved ones to talk to a therapist or guide them to a therapist who is, you know, non-biased, that is not going to be having your emotional attachment. They don't know them from Adam or Eve. They can sit here and they could talk to you and better you and, you know, give you professional guidance. And you don't use the word therapist. You can just say a counsel. You can say, a counselor. I say counselor is the best thing to actually use as an alternate, because most people automatically think therapist. They think of the long couch and somebody with a clipboard and asking you, how does that make you feel? That's actually not what therapists do. They actually do a lot more. Hollywood is definitely trained and conditioned us to believe that that's what therapists do instantly. What they do is they have you talk through your problems to find a solution yourself. They do exactly what I'm telling people to do now when it comes down to victim mentality and victim disorders, and you're dealing with somebody where it is. Now, another thing that you can do as a person who is dealing with somebody who has victim mentality is you can consider where they're coming from. If they're feeling hopeless, believe they have lack of support, blame themselves, lack of self-confidence, have low self-esteem, struggling with depression or PTSD like I do. A lot of the times in those situations for depression and PTSD, when they're having a low moment, you have to take in consideration that, you know, those are just moment thoughts. And I tell myself this all the time, like when I'm going through my cycles and I'm very low, I'm like, this is a moment, this is a moment, this is a moment. And I occasionally will go to my friends and be like, hey, I don't need nothing else, but I just need you to tell me something good. It doesn't need to be something about me, but I just need to have some kind of faith in humanity. So a lot of my friends will just tell me random things. Like the last time I asked somebody to tell me something good, the first thing they responded was, welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order? And I was like, that made me smile, and that's all it takes for me. Like, I am that way with my friends. Now, having victim mentality does not excuse bad behaviors. It is important, again, to set boundaries for yourself when you're dealing with these people. So understanding there is a lot going on than what simply wanting attention is a very big thing. So when I go into these things, an understanding of where they're coming from, just keep that in mind, that when you set these boundaries, that when you sit here and take in consideration and understanding where they're coming from, you still need to hold on to those boundaries when you're talking to them, and then kind of looking at it as, okay, you know, these difficulties expressing some of those emotions can increase emotional distress. It could cause them to be a little bit more frustrating and angry. They'd be like, no, you don't understand where I'm coming from. You have to be very careful with the wording that you use and be like, oh, I'm sympathetic. And then sometimes if you're being sympathetic, they could be like, oh, you're pitying me, you feel bad for me, blah, blah, blah. Depending on where their emotional high is, so you have to be kind of gauging where their emotions are. And I know that's easier said than done, because some people feed off of other people's emotions, like me, who's an empath. If you are too chaotic or if you're too emotional or too sad or upset, I'm going to feed off of that. And sometimes staying that grounded level is a lot of energy. It's a lot of energy. Just saying. When it comes down to that, you have to be very careful. Again, you're wanting to help these people be better, but you do not want to feed them completely and take care of them. You do not want to create a codependency caretaker mentality, because a lot of people don't realize what victim mentality, it could cause them to become codependent on how you respond. And then with you being codependent on how, them being codependent on how you respond, you now have became a codependency caretaker. And if you guys remember in some episodes back where we were talking about the Jada and Will Smith codependency episode, that is where I'm saying you kind of want to be careful with that. Some people become codependent, and you have to understand that these people have to learn to be very dependent on themselves and getting out of these ruts. Because sometimes, again, these are people who have legitimately started off as victims, and they just have not found a proper way to cope. And a lot of them had, at some point, has realized that this is attention that they're getting, and they rather get attention some way, somehow, and they're just going with the cycle versus getting out of the cycle, because again, they're getting attention, it's filling a void for them. And what you're doing as a friend, as a boyfriend, as a girlfriend, as a family member, whatever you may be to this person, you are trying to help them through these issues without helping them by just giving them what they want. You're not handing them a job. You're not handing them money. You're not handing them a relationship with you or whatever the case may be. You want to make sure that you help them sort it out themselves and show them how independent they can really be. Now, again, if you are a guy in this situation and a woman has used, or if you're a female dating or you're a female dating somebody with victim mentality, and this person is using victim mentality to keep you around and make you miserable, and you are setting boundaries and you're trying to help them, and they are just continue wanting to be a victim because they realize that that will keep you there, then that's now manipulation. And at that point in time, you are going to stay in a cycle, and you will actually end up getting trauma from it, and it will hurt the next person you get in a relationship with, because when they are actually having issues, you're not going to believe them. So I'm telling you, if you are witnessing this and you've already addressed it with that person and you've shut down, you have already gone a little too far. You will take some time to take a break for yourself. So there's a lot of resources out there. Seek some counsel. Enjoy the people in your life who are genuinely trying to do good for you. Don't push them away when they're trying to be there for you. Especially if you're just getting out of one of those relationships, just understand that. Now, if you are one of these people that have victim mentality and you don't want to be a victim anymore and you actually want to get real help and you're listening to these words, I don't think of you as a victim. As everybody, we go through things in life that we have no power over. We go through trauma, we go through experiences in life that we are too ashamed and we don't know how to get out of. And that is okay. Because guess what? You have never lived through those experiences. You've never lived in that moment until that moment. And there's nothing wrong with that. But staying in that moment and reliving that moment when you have the means to go ahead and do it. And there's a lot of things out in the world that can give you the means to get out of that situation. If you need help finding it, I will help you find it. The internet resources is at the fingertips for everyone at this point in time in life. It's not like it is in the day where AOL, where you have to choose whether you're going to be on the internet or on the phone that day. But we have the internet at our fingertips if you really want help, if you want guidance. If any of these things sound like you, and I mean not in the sense of a manipulator standpoint, because the manipulator be like, nope, I like the attention I like. And I hate to say it, I mean, there's just some people you can't help out there. But if you are tired of feeling overwhelmed and you're tired of being in bad relationships and you're tired of constantly feeling like you're disappointing your friends or losing friends because you constantly have nothing but bad news to give them and you want to better yourselves, there is those, it's okay to feel wounded and hurt from time to time, but a continuous cycle of it for over a year, 2 years, 3 years, a decade, whatever the case may be, it's not okay. It's not healthy. unfortunately, we do get in situations that make us feel uncomfortable, makes us feel like we need to get better, and it is sometimes it's hard to get out. And it's okay to not be okay. And I say this all the time, guys. It is okay to not be okay. But if even if you feel overwhelmed or if you feel like you can't handle it, there's people out there. It's a good it's a very good idea to go talk to a very trained professional. If you faced abuse, if you face trauma, if you feel depressed, if you feel anxiety, if you feel suicidal, go seek help, professional help. Now, while untreated trauma might contribute to persistent feeling of victimization, but it can also attribute to depression. It can feed depression and suicidal thoughts. It can actually lead to relationship issues and insecurities within relationships, including your personal relationships with your friends, your family, your children, as well as a range of physical and emotional symptoms, including weight gain, weight loss, and then also, you know, losing of weight. So you have to take in consideration and look at that. Now, a therapist can help you explore underlying causes of victim mentality, as well as help you get out of it or find solutions to get out of that. They help you work on self-confidence, as well as they help identify personal needs and goals. They actually can even be advisors. A lot of therapists, if you work with them long enough, can actually become really good professional friends as well. They can help write recommendations for you in job settings. They can help make sure you maintain and live the lifestyle that you want to live, carefree and happy. And those are those people you can call whenever you need them. That's what professional help is. As well as they help you create a plan to achieve it in a creative and healthy, safe way. They can help you guide, especially when you're ready to do things like, you know, possibly take on having a baby by yourself, or possibly take on a new job or moving or something that is different in life experiences that you may not have dealt with in your life. Like, a lot of people who are freshly out of high school or going to college for the very first time don't think that they don't need to have a therapist, because you're not realizing you're moving away from home for the first time. That's a big move. Or going through a divorce. I decided to stay in therapy while going through a divorce, and I kept it up, and then I decided to get off my antidepressants. I decided to do these things, and while doing it, I seeked professional help because I realized that this is not going to be an easy task for somebody like me, or to put that strain on my sister or my roommate, which I didn't want to do. And even I didn't want to put that on my family members. Like, it's just it. I seeked professional help to get professional guidance through these situations, because this was a situation that was new to me, but I knew how my family would handle it, but I needed a different perspective. Again, going to your family is not a problem for advice, but they have a very biased standpoint. So seeking professional help when it comes to this, because your parents will probably, we all can at one point in time have met that one parent to one of your friends that would never think that that friend could ever do any wrong. I've dated a few people who their parents look at, oh, my baby could never do that. Right, your child could never put their hands on a female. Oh, I didn't raise them like that. Then who did? Okay, all right. It also helps you explore those feelings behind being powerless or defenseless. So seeking that professional help or guidance, there's different levels to therapy. There's people who can give you prescription. Those are people who are just, and then there's people who just are guidance counselors. You know, like how you were in high school and you had that one guidance counselor. Like, they're just there for that. There's some different levels there for it. So I want to just go ahead and say the bottom line when it comes down to victim mentality, it can be distress and create challenges in all aspects of life, including your self-esteem, your well-being. And if you are not the person who has the victim mentality, it can cause stress in you know, relationships you have with that person. And even that person who has the victim mentality, it can cause stress in the people that are around you, because they don't want to be around you because you never have anything good to say. And the thing is, like, even if they deal with you at the time that they're dealing with you, it's more like they pity you, and they may feel like they care about you, but a lot of the times they're like, if I don't be there, then nobody else will be. And that's putting a strain on them. That's putting a lot of responsibility on them when they have their own lives to deal with. But it can be very It can be overcome if you seek the personal and professional help that you need and seek professional help from a therapist, as well as have a group of people that has compassion and self-kindness. And that's why I always tell people, make sure you reach out and do your research on your therapist. For me, I have had both male and female therapists. I've always felt comfortable with a certain demographic of therapists. And I found actually an African-American therapist here, and she's very, very lovely. I love her to death. I'm not going to mention her name because I didn't get permission to. But if you can find a therapist that you resonate with that is going to be there and they understand your background and where you're coming from and willing to put through, and if you have a relationship with friends and family members who actually want to see you be better and they give you compassion and they want to be there and see you through this, those are the people you keep in your village. It takes a village to deal with somebody who has victim mentality or any disorders like depression, bipolar depression, multi-personalities, whatever the case may be. The moment you admit that you have that issue and you're wanting to seek help for it, and your friends are aware of it, and your family members and your boyfriend, girlfriend, and XYZ is aware of it, and you talk to them and say, hey, I think I want to seek help. I don't want to keep overwhelming you with my problems, because sometimes your problems is even overwhelming for your partner, and your job is to make sure you have home at home. And then, yes, you can bring your problems to your partner, but there's certain things that you can't just keep piling on them without it constantly being filtrated out. Sometimes seeking that extra professional help is kind of good to be able to talk to and everything else like that. And these people don't know you or your partners or anybody in your life on a professional on a serious level. They only deal with you. That's why I suggest seeking counsel or seeking a therapist, because they are good for you, especially if you're going through major life traumatic experiences like abusive relationships, going through a divorce, which is a very traumatic experience, because you go through a lot of emotions. I'm going to let people know, when I got divorced, I went through a lot. Hell, when I went separated, I went through a lot of emotions. I felt defeated. I felt like a failure. I felt like I was constantly depressed. But I realized that I was more depressed in my marriage than I was out, where, because I was, in order for him to be happy, I had to be miserable, and for order for, vice versa. Basically, for him to be happy, I had to be miserable. For him to be happy, for me to be happy, he had to be miserable. And that wasn't how a relationship's supposed to be. And I did everything in my power to make him happy, but you can't make a person still love you when you start to evolve. That person has to evolve with you. They're not going to like you at this point, and you're going to feel like a failure, because nobody has taught us how to be married. Nobody has taught us how to make a relationship work. Nobody guides us. And the only thing is our parents and our friends can do is give us advice based off of their own personal experience or what they see on Hollywood or what they read in books. So reading and going through a therapist is going to help you guide through those situations. And if you're going through a divorce or a traumatic breakup, go to a therapist, somebody who doesn't know you or your partner on a professional level, because you could go to your friends, but your friends are going to have their opinion about you, and they're going to have their opinion about whoever you are with, especially if you brought that person around your friends. So go to a therapist and go through there. And for your children, possibly put them into therapy as well, because divorce also affects them as well on a traumatic experience, and they may feel like they are at fault. As a person who is a child of divorced parents, at one point in time, I did feel like I was the reason that my parents got a divorce. So that's something as a parent, you should probably consider for your children, so they don't grow up feeling like victims or feeling like they're to blame for this. So I advise therapy, especially for people of color. We should go seek therapists. And I mean, if you can find somebody who is a POC, a person of color, go ahead and do that. And then what I want to say is that also, when it comes down to victim mentality and everything else like that, for those who are suffering and starting to get severely depressed, I want you guys to understand that this month is also suicide. Sorry, I meant to say trigger warning. Hold on. For those who are suffering depression or having thoughts of suicide due to victim mentality, trauma, or anything else like that, it is also Suicide Prevention Month or Suicide Awareness Month. I do have a telephone number if you ever need help. If you just feel like you may be having suicidal thoughts or possibly having moments of needing some help and some guidance, but you can't afford having to go to a therapist or your therapist is not available, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 24 hours, 365 days a year, 366 on a leap year. You can chat, you can go to the website. The phone number is going to be 1-800-273-8255. If you or anybody you know is suffering from very extreme depression, if you're noticing just signs that they are not their complete selves, they're acting sporadic, and I'm not saying sad, I mean like somebody who might be spending a lot more money, they're going on shopping spree, being reckless, wanting to, you know, skydive, and they don't like heights. Those are those things that you need to look out for. If you notice somebody who is possibly getting abused, or they might be an actual victim and they need to get out of their situation, there is a website that you can go. It's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. These are for people who are actual victims who are in abusive relationships and they can't get out of it due to fear of death or possibly dying. There is a phone number that is discreet if you would like to reach out, if you want to pass that number to somebody. That is 1-800-799-SAFE or 7233. Again, that number is 1-800-799-723 for anybody who is also suffering from domestic violence. For my real people who are going through trauma right now and you don't know how to get out of those situations, please utilize one of those numbers, whether you are on the edge or if you are possibly in a domestic or a abusive relationship, especially in light of everything that is going on recently with Gabby and everything else like that. There's a way out. There's support systems. There is a lot of things. If you see something, say something. If you notice something's going on with your friends, if you notice something going on with your family, say something. I don't want anybody to ever go through trauma or go through the things that I've ever went through. And I don't ever want anybody to lose faith in love and compassion and humanity because of the things that I've witnessed and what I have seen. I continue loving and being a great person despite all the things that I've gone through in my life. And I know people have gone through worse. And I know that, and I don't ever want nobody to go through it. And I don't want people to think of me as a victim. I went through the things that I went through. I've learned from them. It was all bad experiences. I wouldn't wish that on my enemy. I laugh about it now, even if it hurts. But people wonder why I have such a big heart, because I know people can survive, and I could have came to my circumstances. I told my dad, and I say this to this day, when I was 14 years old and I got kicked out for the last time right before my 15th birthday, I told my dad if I go back to that abusive environment, I would end up on drugs, in jail, pregnant, or worse, dead. And I was 14 years old when I said that. And yes, I have a lot of trauma. I've dealt with a lot of shit up until I was 24. I have trust issues, and I'm all right with that. But I'm learning. And I don't want to be a victim. I don't want nobody to look at me like, oh, she has too much baggage, so I don't want to deal with her. No, I admit that I have baggage. But you know what? The only difference is I'm not trying to be a victim of those circumstances. I don't want nobody to feel bad for me or date me because of these circumstances. But I also have seen other people who have victim mentality, and they take my kindness for weakness, and I've went through it. And I've realized that I almost got into a whole cycle of feeling like a person, feeling manipulated. Because I know what manipulation feels like. I love my mother to death, and I understand where she came from. So again, when I tell the people the story that I walked away from that abusive relationship, that household, wasn't because my mom was being abusive. My mom was in a situation where if she didn't hurt me, then he would have hurt me and he could have killed me. So it was a matter of she was committing evil to protect me, and I, if that makes any sense. And my mom was a victim herself, and she's not a victim anymore, and I'm not a victim. We have both learned from our situations. We have came together as adults, and we've talked about the situations. And yes, I have a lot of trauma, and I have a lot of problems, and I have a whole abandonment thing when I'm in relationships, but I'm also have this whole I will push you away and walk away from you before I allow you to hurt me, which it's still a big problem for me. I will walk away from a relationship with fear of hurting. But I've had people in my life who is willing to show me that they are willing to still be there, even despite everything else, and that's why I care for them greatly. The thing is, if you have gone through trauma, it's a matter of taking the steps to find the proper way to cope through it and not stay a victim. And if you want to be able to live and love again, you have to break that cycle. Everybody has cycles, and you have to break them. And you're going to be in multiple cycles within your life. And you can't let one person mess up you as a person. Yeah, it will make you have a little bit on edge. It's going to make you feel a certain type of way. But you have to be the one to be a bigger person and be like, I don't want to succumb to this, and I don't want to fall prey to this and allow them to manipulate me to be somebody who I'm not. So, seek help if you can seek help, if you're ready to seek help. And I'm here for you if you need it. You can reach me on my socials. If you look up on IG, model_LadyReiku. And on my Twitter, B_REIKO. My Facebook is Model Reiku P Blackheart. Whenever I'm not looking like a bridge troll like I am right now. Twitter, of course, you guys are, not Twitter, but Twitch, you guys are here. Now, what I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know is I'm going to give you guys some announcements real quick. I am going to be taking a month-long break due to me packing up and leaving for a while. I'm gonna be gone for a new adventure on my life and a new chapter on my life. So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys know during that time, my manager will be looking into new subjects that we're gonna be talking about, new subjects that we're gonna possibly bring to the table to close out the end of season two, because I think we're gonna be ending season two, what, November, December? She doesn't know, but apparently she's going to come up with some subjects while I'm gone. Again, my inbox, Reiku Blackheart bookings, .bookings @gmail.com. If you have any email or concerns or suggestions that you want to kind of bring to, if you want to seek some advice. Again, guys, I am a psychology major, so if you kind of want some help and some guidance on finding some resources to better yourselves or better other people in your lives, I can help you find resources that are local to you, as well as please utilize those phone numbers as well as those websites if you know somebody who might be in an abusive relationship and they don't think they have a way out, or if somebody who might be suicidal and constantly on the ledge. There's nothing wrong with doing wellness checks on your friends or things of that nature. If you have any questions, comments, smart remarks, please email me. I would say put my socials up in social media because it has not popped up at any point in time. It would be !! social. My sister's going to knock everything down. I'm watching her about to knock everything down. Everything's about to get knocked down. There we go. Ha ha. Anywho, For those who are going to be checking out the podcast and you feel like you need to share these episodes with people, please continue sharing my podcast. I appreciate you guys for sticking it out for me. Again, as long as I have been, this year has been a very chaotic year for me. Again, you guys know I don't really talk about a lot of things in my life. I personally know what it's like to be a victim and have victim mentality pushed on somebody. If I really need help, I know how to ask for help. If you really need help, ask for help. There's nothing wrong for asking for help, but if you're asking for help, legitimately take these people's helps in consideration, because this is also affecting these people that you're seeking help from. Dang, I done started on a ramble. I know, I'm wrapping up. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am, I know. So again, guys, thank you so much for going ahead and tolerating this. Again, it is okay to not be okay. Self-love is the best love. Self-care is the best care. And I am going to go and talk to my sister about what we're going to do for the following months, and just follow on my social medias to go ahead and find out what's going on here. And I will be creating a separate social media for the podcast by itself, so I can stop posting my personal rambles on social media. So keep an eye out for updates. And also email me if you have any questions, comments, smart remarks. And that's the best way to get to me, or my manager will respond back. So have a wonderful week. I will see you guys at the beginning of November. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. From your friendly neighborhood witch. Bye.